Welcome to VGK Today, presented by BetMGM, where we give you an inside look at the Vegas Golden Knights 2024 Stanley Cup playoff run. I'm Justin Russo with the Golden Knights on Saturday, May 4th, as the Golden Knights aren't quite done yet after taking down the Dallas Stars in Game 6 Friday night at T-Mobile Arena to force a Game 7 in Dallas on Sunday at 4:30 Pacific Time. After the VGK had flashes in this series of what we have come to know as Golden Knights hockey, Game 6 was the most complete effort of the series for Vegas, winning 2-0 with a connected effort from goaltender Aiden Hill on out. For such a low-scoring game, it sure wasn't lacking in chances for either side. Jake Oettinger shut the door on Vegas several times in the first period as the Knights provided the early push, and in the middle frame, with Dallas looking to get on the board first, Aiden Hill stood tall for Vegas.
Tried to go long post, but missed the glove side on Jake Oettinger. White Cloud fans on a pass, turnover, all alone at Sagan, save, rebound attempt, save, another try, blocker saved by Hill, a trio of stops from 33, left wing shot, another save by Hill.
Three massive stops by Aiden Hill in that second period sequence, and entering the final frame, the game was still 0-0. As Gary Lawless put it on Friday's radio broadcast, the winner would be the team who found comfort in being uncomfortable in such a pressure situation. And with 10:06 left in the third period, it was Noah Hanifin who smiled in the face of adversity to break the ice in Game 6.
Here's Carrier busting in. Left side, he delays. Sends it to the slot on his backhand, but knocked away from Nick Waugh by Craig Smith. Right wing shot, score! Noah Hanifin! Vegas takes the lead. Hanifin springs into the play on the right side. The lefty rips home his second career playoff goal. And the Knights finally get the first goal of Game 6. 10:06 to go.
So Vegas strikes first in Game 6. And while no one would fault the Knights for simply trying to hang on at the end with a lead late in the third period, they continued to press the issue, taking critical time off the clock for Dallas with offensive zone shifts as the Stars looked for the equalizer. With Dallas desperate late and Oettinger out of the net, Mark Stone sealed the game for Vegas.
Robertson rings it down low. It gets through Ben, bouncing at the left goal line. Trickles to Stone. Stone launches it out. Hops down towards the goal. It's in! On the puck, Martinez cranks it around and out. It'll go through center. Will it be icing? No, it's waved off. 6 seconds to go. Suter gets the puck. They're going to run out of time. The clock will run out at the Fortress. The Knights win Game 6, 2-0. There will be a Game 7 in the best first-round series in the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs.
An incredibly exciting game to take in, but the Golden Knights know it means nothing without a similar effort on Sunday. Nonetheless, the first step to get back in the series has been taken, and it is winner-take-all in Game 7 back in Dallas. In the aftermath of Game 6, I spoke with the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, at the Fortress. And after the break, we recap the season-saving effort from Vegas and assess where the VGK sit ahead of Game 7.
Listen up! Your share at winning over $500,000 in free fuel and products is just a tap away with the Terrible Social House app.
Yes!
With a qualifying purchase at the pump or in-store, you can shop, spin, and win directly on your phone. Win free products that you can redeem instantly in-store, or if you're feeling lucky, you could land on free fuel towards your next fill-up. Shop, spin, and win. Download and play today. Terribles, deliberately different since 1959. Go to terribles.com for more details.
Vegas! On behalf of Nagvi Injury Law, Golden Pipes, Carnell Johnson.
If you've been hurt, Nagvi is the word. Call 702 INJURY.
For
upon NACFI with NACFI Injury Law. Imagine you've been injured in an accident. Now, do you want an assembly line law firm that treats you like a number and settles early for easy money? Hell no. Call me now for a free consultation at 702-INJURED.
Well, we're here on VGK today after Game 6 between the Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars at T-Mobile Arena, where the Golden Knights have forced a Game 7 to come our way Sunday at 4:30 Pacific Time. Joining me today is Dan Duva, voice of the Vegas Golden Knights. And Dan, what a Game 6 for Vegas, and has to be said, it was their best of the series.
It was their best showing of the series, and we asked Nicholas Waugh first intermission, Tomas Hertl second intermission, and then Jack Eichel on the post-game show. Nick and Tomas definitively said this was the best performance by the team the entire series. I asked Jack that question, and he did not agree with it wholeheartedly. He said maybe the most complete game, full 60 minutes.
I think probably our most complete game. I think every night there's things you want to clean up, but for the most part, I thought we did a lot of things we wanted to do that we talked about going into the game, and it's a credit to the group. Like I said, a lot of resolve from the guys. Everyone competed. They're bought off tonight, and it's tough to win hockey games this time of year, and we found a way. So tons of credit to the group.
But interestingly, this was the first game in which Jack did not record a point himself. He had a point in each of the first five games, totaling 7, which is still the series high, but did not factor in the scoring today. No matter, he still played very, very well, I thought, even though he didn't mark the score sheet. There's, in that answer, you might feel the hunger that he has, the lack of satisfaction. So I think maybe during the game you hear, the encouragement and the buoyed confidence from Nick and Tomas Hertl, but they really did play well. And by the way, the Dallas Stars played really well,
oh,
too.
Yes.
This was a really entertaining game. If you watched the sixth game of the Nashville versus Vancouver series, and even, I might say, the Toronto-Boston series, the quality of hockey, the entertainment value, not as high as this Game 6. The Toronto-Boston game was pretty good. Pretty good, but it was not this.
No.
The Vancouver-Nashville game, and we were watching it in the press box before the Knights started Game 6, so I didn't get to see the final minutes of the third other than kind of glancing over my shoulder to see that Pew Suter goal with a couple minutes to go. But sometimes you're not playing to win, you're playing not to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like maybe that was the case in that Vancouver-Nashville series. Not to sell those guys short, still a hard-fought series for the Preds and the Canucks. But this series is the best first-round series in the 2024 postseason. Other series have had some really good hockey. There's been some really good games. But through six games, this has been the most impressive high-end hockey, and it ought to be. It's the defending cup champions against number one team in the Western Conference. You look over in the East, of course, you got the Florida Panthers. Well, they were taking on a Tampa Bay Lightning team that was just not the same team that won the Cup a couple years ago. Okay, then who is the best team in the regular season? New York Rangers. Well, they just swept the floor with the Washington Capitals, who did not look at the same level as the other teams that made the playoffs this year. Long story short, this is the best first-round series, and it is poetic that there will be a Game 7.
Yeah, very deserving. And for this one, too, you brought up some of the other Game 6s across the league. This one was edge-of-your-seat action from start to finish, where you knew that first goal was going to be important, but nobody seemed to want to score it. And there was chances at either end. A couple of guys missed some open nets, some good block shots on either side, and you just didn't know when it was going to go in. And finally, in the third period, Noah Hanifin gets one to go. And I find it interesting that we've talked so much about some of the big guys for the Golden Knights that haven't gotten on the score sheet yet. And lo and behold, it's Noah Hanifin, a defenseman, albeit an offensive defenseman. He's the one that breaks the ice here.
Yeah, the only other defenseman to score a goal, a winning goal, in an elimination game for the Knights was Shea Theodore a few years ago. Knights have now improved their franchise record in elimination games to 3-4. And naturally that involves one season in which they missed the playoffs, but another season in which they won all of the games. They did not face elimination last year. They won the Stanley Cup. So that's how you get to that number. But back to your point, Noah Hanifin, both of his goals in this postseason are game winners. He didn't have any goals in his playoff career as a member of the Calgary Flames. Didn't get there with Carolina earlier on. So what he has done here is a continuation of what he did in the regular season after the trade, 19 games. It has been just full marks for Noah Hanifin.
Noah Hanifin has certainly been as advertised for what the Golden Knights expected that they would get from him when they traded for him at the deadline from the Calgary Flames, and he has continued to prove them right because a couple of game-winning goals in this first-round series, the latest coming in Game 6 that broke the ice and got the Golden Knights on the board to help extend their season. After the game, Noah Hanifin talked about his journey over the last couple of months to get to this point, and his teammates Alex Pietrangelo and Captain Mark Stone, alongside head coach Bruce Cassidy, touched on what makes Noah so special.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, it's ever since I got traded here, I was super excited about the opportunity and coming to a team with guys that have won. And I've said a bunch, it's just a great culture here, and I'm fortunate just to be a part of it. And for me, I feel good about my game and just trying to contribute, whichever way I can. And I think that's just part of the culture. Everybody does their job and everybody contributes in different ways. For me, being here for a long time in the future here, I'm very excited about it. And I'm just going to try to keep building my game, and we'll keep building our team game.
Well, it just gives us another threat, on the blue line. I think if you look at our D-core, I think we're at our best when we're playing all six guys. If you look at us, I didn't look at the minutes, but they got to be pretty even, right? It keeps us fresh. It's an advantage that we certainly used last year, and I think we're doing it again.
What stands out to you about Noah's game and just the way he's fit in with this group?
Yeah, he's kind of had a couple different partners, but he's a great skater, obviously, right? That's the one thing he uses to an advantage. And like I said, just adds another element on the back end where we can use all six guys in every situation. And I think if you look at last year, even as we move on here, the deeper you go, you're going to want to keep everybody fresh. And it's a huge advantage for us.
I think his skating really sticks out. He's poised with the puck. He makes really good plays, good first pass. Really helps his partner out, right? When he's kind of like Theo. When you got those guys that back there that can skate and are kind of one-man breakouts between him and Shea, it helps us as forwards too. I know they Nabber and right now Whitey did a great job, kind of getting little holdups for those guys to get wheeling and going. And I think that's kind of what happened on on our goal. He gets up the ice with his speed and take advantage of kind of a 4-on-3.
For him to come in to this playoff run, two game-winning goals, just how, I guess, calm and how important has he been? No matter where you put him on the pairs, he's been able to deliver.
Yeah, I think that's the good thing for us is that the way it played out, we didn't have the opportunity to build one pair for 6 weeks or whatever it was, So at the end of the day, sometimes that's good for a player because all he does is go to the rink saying, I just got to play my game. And the guy beside me, he'll play his game and we'll trust each other to play our games, type of thing. And as opposed to, some of the other stuff that goes into it, when you have a partner, you rely on certain things. Now it's like, I got to make sure I'm ready because, there's a new person beside me. So that's the advantage of that. He's a good hockey player. He can finish some plays. He's done a good job for us in all areas. We needed a goal tonight, right? Like, we were struggling early to finish, generated a ton of chances. It was a great goaltended game, but someone had a breakthrough and happened to be him, so good on him. Jumped on a loose puck. It's something he can do. He's certainly got good instincts offensively in terms of being assertive and on his toes, and that's what happened up there too, right? The goalie got. He got snuck into the slot and found a loose puck, so similar situations. It took him a little while longer, and don't forget Kolasar's screen, right? I don't know if it goes in without, the guy at the net front, so... That's what it took to beat Ottinger tonight was, one that I'm not sure he saw. Only he can tell you that, but good combination of play there from those players on the ice.
I like that he played with Zach Whitecloud today. When Hanifin was playing his best hockey in a Knights uniform, I think it was with Nick Hague. With Pietrangelo healthy, there were a couple of games in the regular season they played together, but most of the time Pietrangelo was out, and so Hague was there. Pietrangelo today played with Alec Martinez, and that's the duo we saw last game. Hanifin had played with Ben Hutton. So Whitecloud replaces Hutton in the lineup. I also think this was the best game I've seen from Zach Whitecloud in weeks and weeks. Hanifin will have a tendency to do that, make the players around him better, his partner better. But that's the first time the two of them have played together.
Yeah.
Only game six of a playoff series. But I thought that those two were great. Zach just seemed more confident with the puck. Naturally, Noah makes the play. And even aside from that, just strong all around. I thought Petrangelo and Martinez back to their regular stellar play at both ends and so strong around the net. Then there's Theodore and McNabb. Theodore was really the guy on the blue line who made an early impression. He didn't score but had some good looks. Gary described him as having those happy feet early on, and McNabb has just been he's got 5 points in the series. Hanifin has 5 points in the series. There's only a couple of defensemen in the NHL who have more points among defensemen in the first round. So to have those two guys, you know, McNabb has not done that historically. Hanifin hasn't been here until now. You wouldn't have expected it. So it was impressive to see. And I think that the way things worked out for the D pairs today, I mean, they have 8 NHL defensemen. One of them is injured right now in Nicholas Hägg. Ben Hutton is the 7th guy right now. Mm-hmm. He played last game. They lost. Made sense to put White Cloud back in. I think the fact that you keep an offensive-minded defenseman on each pair makes sense. Hanifin, Petrangelo, Theodore. Of course, in certain situations, put Petrangelo and Hanifin together, fine. But all things being equal, keep those guys in 3 different pairs. I thought they clicked today, and I would guess that they would play together with those 3 pairs in Game 7.
Balanced defense pairs, getting it done offensively and playing well defensively in front of a goaltender in Aiden Hill that has found his stride and looks like the goaltender we saw last year win the Stanley Cup.
This was Aiden Hill's best performance in a couple of months. You know, he only played 3 games in the month of April. He's had his starts and stops trying to come back from injury. Such a great finish to the playoffs last year, 11-4, 2 shutouts, Stanley Cup. Starts this year picking up where he left off, but then the injury happens in the fall. He misses significant time, tries to come back a couple of times, and sometimes health was the issue, sometimes the play was a question mark, and a few games that he did play in April, 1 win, 2 losses, 1 game he gave up 5 goals against the Oilers. It was just a matter of time before Hill was going to play if the Knights were going to have any success. Logan played well. Logan Thompson was the guy down the stretch in the regular season, had that 6-game winning streak, the first 5 of the 6. He gave up exactly 1 goal. He earned the starter's job to begin this postseason. But, you know, when you've lost 2 in a row, even though he had played well, it's hard to go down without having a Stanley Cup winning goaltender sitting there on the bench and not get him into the lineup. So the choice was to get Hill in for Game 5. He gave up 3 goals. The team lost. Wasn't because Hill played poorly. Remember, he hadn't played in 13 days. Come back with him in Game 6, pitches a shutout. So now he's got 3 playoff shutouts. All 3 of them have come against the Dallas Stars. Bruce has talked about Hill's style, the kind of goalie he is, the size and whatnot. It just translates well to facing Dallas.
That it does. 3 shutouts for Aiden Hill over the past couple of postseasons against the Dallas Stars. And after Game 6, he spoke on the recent stretch for him to get back into game action for the Golden Knights, and his head coach also heaped praise on him for the way that he's played of late.
I've always had confidence in myself and my game. I've had a little stretch there where I struggled on some goals that I maybe shouldn't have, but I felt like in practice I never really lost it. So it's kind of more a mental thing, if anything. So, when I got my number called in Game 5, I just went out and tried to, be positive and have a good game. And I felt like I played decent that game, the little couple things I could have cleaned up, and I felt like it came together a little better tonight, but it's a team effort out there. Our guys did a great job, some few key blocks for me, and it was a great game, lots of communication playing the puck, and it was a fun game to be a part of tonight.
Good for Hilly. I thought we played better in front of him than we have the last few games in terms of whoever was in nets, but he had to make saves. You know, they've been blowing the zone a little bit. Dadonoff got behind us, and Fort's big. You know, I don't know if he saved or went over the net, but still, you know, there was a couple of bang-bang plays early on there. We turned one over in the second period on when they got in. I think it was Seguin again, right, got in. Fortunate play for them. They come out of the box or on a breakaway, right? And those are some of the breaks you need a little bit. They get a break coming out of the box, right? And all of a sudden they're in a breakaway. So you're going to need that save. That's something that can really give you juice, take some out of your own team, right? You go, geez, you know, we've played pretty well. Now they So good for Hilly on that situation. And lock it down in the third. I thought we did a good job in front of him, but he's got to fight through screens and traffic. A little more low to high play in the third. So good on him. He's been here. He shut out Dallas before. Did it last year, twice, I believe. So how about a fourth time, Hilly? That's what we're looking for, right? So I'm sure they'll have something to say about that and have a game plan for him. But listen, you're not advancing without good goaltending. I think you've seen that from both sides. There hasn't been a poor game from the goaltenders at all. So it's one of those series where they're dictating a lot of the outcomes. You know, at the end of the year, I think the funny part was Aiden. He was feeling better about his game. You know, you could see it in practice. It just, pucks were finding their way in, right? So now, was it one of those that you're going to go through during the year no matter what? And it happened to be in March where it's a little more magnified than maybe December. But at the end of the day right now, I think he's put two good games together. Obviously a great game tonight. So I thought he was solid up there. So his confidence should be more in, hey, it's playoffs. I've been there before, right? He should be sort of washing a bit of what happened this year in the regular season. You know, once he came back the second time, he obviously started the year terrific and thinking more about, hey, what did I do in the playoffs last year? And that should be what he's drawn on, you know, in these playoffs now, and try to sort of put behind him some of the stuff that didn't go his way. That's how I assume he's taken it. He should have confidence. He just pitched a shutout and made some really high-end saves. Team's playing well in front of him. So their goalie, I'm sure, is confident. You're seeing confident goaltenders, and that's, you know, Logan was confident. That's why they're making stops. I think when you feel good about your game, you're going to be better, right? So that's what we're seeing. And for us, it's just a matter of being one better up there on Sunday.
Well, this was, as you and Gary Lawless said on the radio just after the game, it kind of felt like this was the first time the Golden Knights played Golden Knights hockey in this series. And Tomas Hertl said in the second intermission that he felt like they deserved a bounce in that third period based on how they played. And that's not what they had said in previous games, because they didn't feel like they had earned their right to win some of these games. But in this one, it felt like they definitely earned this win.
Yeah, there were some close calls in the three games that they lost. And, you know, Howden hits a post or something just doesn't quite connect at the last moment. Whatever it was, there were not the self-inflicted mistakes in today's game. You pointed out earlier, Justin, they were far more connected. Goaltender, defenseman, forwards, straight out. Neutral zone play was vastly improved. But I think that when you see, poof, everything comes into focus, then you're thinking, okay, here we are. And then you can duplicate that. That's why Bruce has often gone back to video of last year's postseason to remind guys, reinforce, this is how we do it. This is where we find success. And if you haven't done that recently, it's almost a shadow of the past rather than something you can translate into workable hockey. But now, given what they did here today, and you know, they could have scored earlier. You had Kolesar hits the pipe. Waugh has a point-blank chance, left-toe save from Ottinger. Marchessault on the power play has a shot. Looks like it goes off Carlson, then off the right post and out. There were some very close calls where the Knights could have scored before Hanifin eventually did. And then even on Hanifin's goal, of course, it's the fourth line, grinding away. Hanifin finds the puck, works through the right circle, and his shot with a Kolesar screen looks to graze off of Suter. I don't know. It looked like it might have grazed Kolesar, but they said no. Hanifin's goal unassisted, but it does go off of Suter. It hits the right bicep near the shoulder of Ottinger and goes into the net. Threading the needle is how Gary described it, a seeing-eye shot. It gets into the back of the net for the game-winning goal. So if you want to call that a good break, I suppose, as Hertl said, they were due.
Well, that sets up Game 7 on Sunday in Dallas, and is it as simple as Bruce saying to the guys, hey, just do what you did in Game 6, and we're looking pretty good, or what have you got your eye on for Game 7 on Sunday?
Well, of course, they clinched the series in Dallas last year. It was Game 6, and it was probably the best single game I've ever seen them play. They won 6-0, and it was a resounding victory. They played so well, and it, I suppose, struck fear into the heart of the Florida Panthers, who the Knights then defeated in 5 games, and it almost was 4 if not for, you know, the late goal overtime win for Florida there in Game 3. Anyway, can you copy and paste this? You bet. But, you know, the Stars are the number one team in the Western Conference for good reason, 113 points. It's one of the best regular seasons in that franchise's history. They have won Stanley Cup, and it was back in 1999, and this is about as good as they have been at any point since then. And they, of course, have been to conference finals. They have not been back to the Cup final. So with the history, not only for the Knights and Stars, this is the third series for these franchises. Pete DeBoer has been involved in a staggering number of these games. How about this, Justin? I'll give you the number. In the Golden Knights history, Pete DeBoer has been involved in 64 out of the 94 games. Either coaching the Knights, 39 games, coaching the Sharks against the Knights, 13 games, or now with the Dallas Stars, 12 games.
Soon to be 13 and tie that Sharks
mark. Yeah, so it is amazing the familiarity, and just goes to show how good these teams are, the Knights and the Stars, of course, here, but of course the San Jose Sharks from a few years ago, they were right there as well. And boy, oh boy, it is, it's game seven. It's the best part of hockey. It's the best thing to say in sports, game seven. And I will be looking forward to it very much. Make sure to have some water and
energy bars, as you pointed out a few episodes ago on VGK.
That's
today.
Right. Just in case, it's gonna be fun. It's game seven. The Knights have been to game sevens before. They have won. They have lost. And no doubt, whatever happens in game seven on Sunday, it's going to be an outcome that will be talked about for a long time.
Well, I think that just about wraps up here. We'll hope that after game seven, some Knights and Avalanche are on the docket for Dan Duva and Gary Lawless in the second round. Dan, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Justin.
Well, always great chatting with Dan, and appreciate his time after game six between the Knights and the Stars. And as he focuses on game seven and he gets ready to go to Dallas, of course, he will be traveling with the team. And the guys themselves after the game had some thoughts on what they could do to make sure they get the same result in game seven, with Alex Pietrangelo, Mark Stone, and Noah Hanifin outlining some of the things they need to carry into Sunday.
Do more of what we did tonight. I mean, you know, tonight was essentially, you got to treat that like a game seven, right? It's do or die. So I don't think that really bothers us much. I think if you look at our group, we rise to the occasion. We did that last year. You know, but then again, we're a team that's going to look in the mirror. As well as we played, I think there's still some things that we can tweak, and, you know, we'll get ready for that on Sunday.
Got to stick to the same plans that have got us here. We've played in big games before. Everyone in this room has been in big games. So you just got to put your best foot forward. It's a one-game elimination, right? We played on our toes today. We're in the exact same spot as we were today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a it's a veteran team in here, and you know, all the guys have gone the distance, and they know what it takes to win. And, you know, I think it's good just to build some momentum off of tonight. You know, I thought it was a really good performance for us from everybody, and that's the way we got to play. You know, we were a hard team to play against tonight, and, you know, we just got to carry that onto the road with us and you know, just be composed and play our game and let it come to us. So I think everybody's very excited for it.
More hockey on the way for the Golden Knights again on Sunday at 4:30 for Game 7. And stay tuned after the break, because we'll take a look around the NHL playoffs and see what happened on Friday night in the first round.
Hello, I am Kerry Buboltz, President and CEO for your Vegas Golden Knights. I am a proud board member of the Nevada Donor Network Foundation. With over 600 Nevadans waiting for a life-saving organ transplant, we can all do our part to bring hope to those waiting. I am partnering with Nevada Donor Network to raise awareness about registering to be a hero. I am a registered organ, eye, and tissue donor, and proud Nevadan. Are you? Join us at wearenevadans.org.
Jack Daniels has always made whiskey, and if they have it their way, they always will. But there's one thing Jack can't make more of: moments. Those are on us to create. You see, hockey fans, we only get one shot at this thing called life. So let's make sure we're making the most of every moment, whether it's showing up for our team or sipping a glass of Jack while cheering at the radio. Don't let a single moment go to waste. Make it count. Jack Daniels.
Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniels and Old Number 7 are registered trademarks. Copyright 2022 Jack Daniels. All rights reserved.
Only one other game on the NHL schedule on Friday night, and it came from Nashville. The Predators in the exact same situation as the Golden Knights, on home ice, looking to force a Game 7. They did not get the same result, though, losing 1-0 to the Vancouver Canucks in Game 6, as the Canucks move on to the second round with a date with the Edmonton Oilers awaiting them next up. Pugh Suter got the goal for Vancouver with just over 90 seconds to go in the game, the only goal in the game. A nice pass out front as he beats UC Saros for the lone goal in this one. Nashville had a strong push in the final minute or so to try to tie things up, but they couldn't get one past Artur Shelovs, who picks up the shutout win in Game 6, and the Canucks move on to Round 2. So another first-round series ends out west, and now the Golden Knights and Stars, the only series in the Western Conference yet to be settled. Can't say that about the East yet, though, because Saturday night, Game 7 between the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs. This series was 3-1 Boston, but the Leafs have fought back in the last couple of games. An overtime goal in Boston in Game 5 for Matthew Knies. A 2-1 win on home ice for the Leafs. A couple of goals from William Nylander in Game 6. And they now return to Boston for Game 7. Remember, the Bruins were in this exact spot last year. 3-1 lead to the Panthers, who ended up winning in Game 7 in Boston. Can the Maple Leafs fulfill that prophecy once again? Or can the Bruins finally get a win on home ice to move to the second round? We shall see. An exciting one coming our way on Saturday night. Looking forward to Sunday, of course. The Golden Knights and Stars will settle things. That'll be the final series to wrap things up in Round 1. And interestingly enough, it will come after Round 2 has already begun, because the Hurricanes and Rangers are actually going to begin their second round series at 1 o'clock Pacific time on Sunday afternoon. So the Hurricanes and Rangers, Canes who won in 5 games, Rangers who swept the Washington Capitals, they got their series done a bit early, and they're already ready to go for Round 2 action. Taking a look at the entire bracket, just to recap where things sit at the moment. Of course, the Golden Knights and Stars still yet to settle things in Game 7. Winner of that faces the Colorado Avalanche in the second round. For the Golden Knights, it would mean a trip to Denver for Game 1, and of course the Stars, should they win Game 7, would host the opening game of that series. Vancouver will face Edmonton in the second round, a couple of Pacific Division teams. Vancouver, by virtue of winning the Pacific Division, will host Game 1 of that series, and what a fun series that is lining up to be, with so much star power on both sides. Really excited to see how that one pans out in Round 2. Over on the eastern side of the bracket, we already mentioned the Rangers and the Hurricanes taking on each other in Round 2 out of the Metro bracket. And of course, we're still awaiting the final team in the East to face the Florida Panthers. Will it be the Bruins or will it be the Maple Leafs? Game 7 to decide that on Saturday night. Both of those teams desperately looking for a trip to Sunrise for Game 1 to keep their seasons alive. Golden Knights, of course, looking to use that same desperation to get them to a Game 1 in Denver in a few days' time. And a reminder for our listeners that whether it's a home or away game, all fans decked out in VGK gear get an exclusive 10% off their bill at Nelly's Southern Kitchen. Golden Knights goals taste even better with Nelly's mouth-watering Southern Delights. An update for you as well on watch parties for Sunday's Game 7. Going to have a couple of different watch parties around town, one of them being at Stadium Swim at Circa Resort and Casino, the other one coming from the lawn at downtown Summerlin. Both of the watch parties will kick off at 3:30 Pacific time, with the game set for 4:30, and both events will have a DJ, visits from the VGK cast, giveaways, and raffle prizes. The watch party at Stadium Swim will be 21 and over, but you will get free admission if you're wearing your VGK gear, so be sure to throw on your Golden Knights jersey to get free admission to Circa's Stadium Swim. And of course, fans of all ages are invited to the lawn at downtown Summerlin. That's also going to have some food trucks and drink stations. Bring your own blankets and towels to sit on out on the lawn as you take in Game 7 between the Golden Knights and the Stars. Thanks, as always, for tuning into VGK today. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform, as we'll be back every day throughout the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs with new episodes. Stay tuned for tomorrow as Darren Millard joins the show. Justin Russo signing off for VGK Today, presented by BetMGM.